literally. My wife will be loyal to me and no other. Indifference roared with displeasure. Inhale, exhale. Proceed with caution, so close to crossing the finish line. Inhale. Good, that was good. Exhale. The crimson haze faded from Puck's gaze.
Well, that sucks,
Gillian muttered, oblivious to the turmoil she caused. Gaze far away again, she began to babble.
I had no idea. Thought immortals were created fully formed or born from other immortals.
Immortals are born in more ways than one. She blinked rapidly, attention returning to him.
How much time do I have before?
Considering your current condition, I'd say another week, maybe two. At most.
Bummer.
Her nose scrunched up, creating adorable little crinkles on the sides.
I'll never get to do the things on my bucket list. If I had a bucket list, I mean.
Perhaps you should make one. I can help. His first suggestion? Bond to a beast. Her head canted to the side, her whiskey eyes once again admiring.
Why would you want to help me with that, of all things?
Somehow, her scrutiny made him feel less like a monster and more like a man, as if she didn't see what he was, but what he could be. An illusion, nothing more. You could use a distraction, and I could use a new goal. A kernel of truth meant to garner pity. Others might disdain a blow to their pride, but not Puck, not any longer. The woman I wanted didn't want me back, so we parted ways. Truth. No one wants me, boo-hoo-hoo, poor me. Now, he shrugged. Comfort me? The woman in question. Winter. He'd hungered for her as much as he was able. He'd never met a woman like her, strong enough to topple an army all on her own. But when she'd rebuffed him, he hadn't cared enough to try to change her mind. Sorry, beastie boy, but I'm in love with someone else. Me. You understand, right? No hard feelings, other than the hard feelings in your pants. He'd walked away without a single twinge of regret.
Women are goals to you?
Gillian asked, sounding a little offended, but a lot curious by the prospect. Continued curiosity was a very good sign.
Why not?
My goals, as well as my rules, keep me from sitting on a couch, watching soap operas all day, every day, while eating old pizza. Bond, escort, return. Hesitant, she said.
But if you're unable to feel, how do you want a woman?
I rarely feel emotion, but I often feel desire. In particular, I desire a certain little dark-haired beauty. The two aren't mutually exclusive, lass. If Gillian wanted him, he would bed her. The thing she made him crave. Once again he wondered if she would have the power to make him come, and how indifference would react. There was only one way to find out. If he had to lie and tell William he wouldn't ever touch her, he would. Anything to achieve his goals, or maybe he would be better served refusing to keep his hands to himself. Jealous men did foolish things, like agree to help a total stranger murder another total stranger. Of course, everything hinged on Puck's ability to save Gillian from certain death.
You make a good point, I suppose.
She offered him a small smile, and yet never had a female looked sadder.
I feel all kinds of emotion, but never, ever desire.
So she didn't yearn to bed her precious William? A lie, surely. You've never desired a man? Tell me the truth. Tell me now. For some reason, Puck had to know. Indifference dug his claws in deeper while issuing another warning roar. Gillian shifted away from him, her little body even more tense than before, her dark eyes haunted. Haloed by the setting sun, she radiated more pain than any one person could possibly endure, or survive, especially a fragile human on the verge of death. Whatever ice he'd managed to maintain, toast.
I don't want to talk about it.
Reminding him of a wounded animal cornered by a hungry predator, she lashed out, saying,
change the subject. Or leave.
Chapter 8 Puck didn't change the subject, and he didn't leave. I'll take door number 3, lass. Ah, I understand, he said. Someone hurt you. He uttered the words matter-of-factly, but deep, deep inside, he seethed. Who had dared to brutalize his wife? Thinking of her as wife now, rather than future wife? The butterfly tattoo sizzled on its return to his shoulder. Because of the punishments meted by his demon, Puck was intimately acquainted with the helplessness that accompanied the inability to stop an attack. While incapacitated and unable to fight back, he too had been brutalized in the worst of ways. Only when his strength had returned, repaying violence with worse violence had been easy. He doubted this fragile flower had ever gathered the power to do the same. I'll kill the man responsible, whoever he is. Gladly. Bloodily. Just tell me his name.
Names, plural, she snapped, then pressed her lips together.
One man or 100, it makes no difference to me. He would kill them all. Blood would flow in great, sweeping rivers.
Thanks for the offer, she mumbled, deflating. But I think they're already dead.
She thought or knew? Considering her relationship with the Dark One. William must have meted punishment, and kept the details from her. From everything Puck had observed about the secretive male, yes, absolutely. One of her delicate shoulders hiked in a shrug, her only response to his question.
Are you on friendly terms with William?
I know of him, and I'm sure he knows of me. Who didn't? But we've never officially met. Truth.
If you want to be his friend, sneaking around his property isn't...
Oh, I don't want to be his friend. Another truth emerged unbidden. He can hate me. Hatred was a guarantee. I don't care one way or the other.
That's unwise. If you aren't his friend, you're his enemy. His enemies die painfully.
Do you care?
If she could accept William's dark side, she could accept Puck's, a point in his favor.
My enemies die gratefully, glad to finally escape me.
Now she rolled her eyes. You immortals in your blood feuds.
Don't you mean us immortals?
Best she accepted her fate as soon as possible. An eternity awaited her, ready or not. Longing pulsed from her. No, I don't. I'm going to die, remember? Before the transformation is complete, which means a bucket list is stupid.
Because she would be forced to pick things she could do from her sickbed.
How sad.
You will die, yes.
He found a pebble, tossed it into the water, giving her words a moment to sink in. The time to play the hero had come.
Or I could bond with you.
Too eager.
I suppose, he added. Not good enough. He needed to spell out his role. I could save you by joining our souls. She gaped at him. With interest?
The only way to save me is bonding to me? So are you actually proposing to me?
Yes. Verging on too eager again? No, he said then. Too disinterested? A frustrated sound brewed in his chest, and he pursed his lips. I don't want to bond with you, but I don't not want to bond with you. If he could have kicked his own ass, he would have. Blowing this big time. It's just something to do, something mutually beneficial.
Better.
Her hands flattened against her stomach, as if to ward off a terrible ache.
Aren't you worried I'll make you mortal?
Not anymore, not even a little. I am the dominant between us. My life force will overpower yours, I'm sure of it. And you will be mine and mine alone.
For a time.
She opened her mouth, snapped it closed, opened it, snapped it closed. Inside Puck, anticipation and nervousness vied for supremacy, inciting indifference to slash and riot. "Come on, lass, hurry, tell me what I need to hear." Finally, Gillian sighed and said,
"Thank you for the kind offer, non-offer. But I think I'm going to pass."
A new surge of frustration joined the deluge, causing the demon's tantrum to intensify another degree. Careful. No, not careful. Not here. Not now. Puck needed to know where he'd gone wrong. Trying for a reasonable tone, he said,
"Is it because of my horns?
The fur? Hooves? If only he could shapeshift, as he'd done before his possession." Seeming lost again, she crossed her arms over her middle, rousing sympathies. "I can hack them off," he said, proceeding. "They'll stay gone for a time." No response. "I haven't always looked this way."
"No," she replied, and he had to backtrack to figure out what she denied. "His horns," he realized. "Appearance has nothing to do with it."
When she peered at him again, her breathing was labored, her skin dotted by perspiration.
"You would want to have... you know."
"You know? Sex?" A glorious flush appearing in her cheeks, momentarily giving the illusion of health. She nodded. "Often and thoroughly, lass." If he could come without punishment. Hell, if he could come at all. Though the girl had made him feel more in the past 24 hours than anyone else had managed in, he couldn't remember how long, she might not be able to overcome his constant need to cater to indifference. "Correct," he said, his voice harsher than he'd intended, all force and no seduction. Considering the tragedy of her past, she would require gentling, a skill Puck wasn't sure he employed. Before his possession, he'd taken his women for a hard ride.
"I would, yes." "Well, I wouldn't, ever."
"You think that now.
But I would change your mind."
"Or die trying." "No, absolutely not. War before women." If he had to take sex off the table, he would. And he would tell her so, would reassure her, any second now. He pressed his tongue to the roof of his mouth and remained silent. No way would he limit himself to such a degree, because when it came to sex, he would not lie. In this, he would always be truthful with her. As he carefully considered his next statement, he found and threw another pebble.
"I would never force you," he said.
"I would wait for you to want it, to want me."
"I'm telling you, no matter how skilled you think you are, you'd have to wait forever."
"I'd have you in bed within the month, guaranteed." She softened, regret radiating from her, as if she feared she'd hurt his feelings. At the same time, goosebumps graced her flesh, as if she liked the idea.
"So expressive, so beautiful."
More ice cracked, heat blooming in the center of his chest. He shot hard and aching, his body desperate for release. Oh yes, with her he would be able to come. Arousal smoldered deep inside him. Silently he told her,
"Trust me, female, let me set you free from your fears."
Roar! Puck jolted, the heat cooling. In the distance, a twig snapped. Ears twitching, he stiffened and searched the oasis, soon catching William's murder and mayhem scent on the breeze.
"William has returned." Dismal timing. "He'll be here in 5, 4, 3. "You should go."
Gillian made a shooing motion with her hands.
"Please."
Did she worry for Puck's welfare? How sweet and adorable, and utterly unexpected. 1, he said, finishing the countdown. He darted to a palm tree 100 yards away, the thick trunk hiding him while also allowing him to maintain a vigil over Gillian. William exited the house, his legs taking him straight to the girl. When he noticed the unconscious guards, malice blazed in his eyes, momentarily turning crystalline irises neon red.
"Are you all right, Poppet? The guards!"
"I'm fine," she said, scanning the area. Finding no sign of Puck, she breathed a sigh of relief. Happiness that he'd gotten away safely? Or happiness that Puck wouldn't fight and hurt her precious William?
He curled his hands into hard fists. "What happened to my soldiers?" William demanded as he crouched beside her. Would she tell him the truth? Would she attempt to protect Puck? Did he want her to try to care?
"Someone happened to them," she said, then hesitated. "A man. Puck."
A flicker of disappointment. Would she mention his proposal? If William managed to bond block him, all hope would be lost.
"He came here and moved so quickly I couldn't track him," she added. "The guards were no match for his speed and strength."
"She praises me." A tingle of pride sent another fissure racing through the ice. Indifference clawed at Puck's mind, sending tendrils of weakness to his bones. He cursed because he knew. This was it. The final warning. Next, the demon would purr, and Puck would be screwed, unable to move or protect himself, unable to help Gillian as the disease drained her. He doused the pride with a splash of cold, hard truth. If he failed to achieve his goals, sin would remain on the Connaught throne. Citizens would suffer. Amaranthia would suffer. Anger flickered to life, and he issued another curse. No help for it. He had to summon more ice. There. Better. Puck, keeper of indifference, William stood, a dagger clutched in both of his hands. It seemed Puck's reputation had preceded him. He's sworn vengeance on Torin for trapping him in another realm. Wrong. Cameron and Winter had sworn vengeance on Torin. Puck hadn't cared enough. But how did Puck escape? William asked, as if thinking aloud. Easily. Cameron, being Cameron, had been obsessed with finding an exit. Gillian frowned.
How do you know what he's sworn if you've never met him?
My spies are everywhere, Poppet. Neon red returned to William's eyes. Did Puck say anything to you? Did the bastard do anything to you? Hades mentioned him, said he might be nearby and I should leave him alone. But that just makes me want to hurt him worse. She huffed and puffed like the big bad wolf she absolutely wasn't, and the corners of Puck's mouth twitched.
He told me what Morte ad vitam is.
As William lamented loose tongues and unwanted visitors, she added,
You won't hurt him for it, and you won't kill him, or pay someone else to kill him. I should have heard the truth from you, but I didn't, so he kindly offered to help.
She was trying to protect Puck. Ice cracking all over again, body going molten. Offered to help. How? William demanded.
Promise me first, she insisted.
And if she hadn't looked like death, she might have pulled off fiercish.
Please.
Silent now. The warrior reached out to rip the shirt Puck had given her. She gasped, startled. Then she whimpered. William showed no mercy, pulling the material from her shoulders. Once the garment was free, he tossed it into the water. Interesting and revealing in more ways than one. Though William knew nothing about the proposal, he was already eaten up with jealousy. The exact reaction Puck wanted, needed. So why was he eyeing the other man's chest, imagining sinking a blade through his heart? Gillian's second whimper had Puck marching forward, eager to make fantasy a reality, with no thought or concern about indifference, ice completely melted. William would suffer. Another tendril of weakness settled in his bones, and he tripped. Puck caught himself on a tree, ducked behind the trunk. Muttering an apology, William scooped Gillian into his arms, infinitely tender now, and carried her inside the house. Though Puck knew he should leave and seek shelter, he drew closer. Closer still. Floor-to-ceiling glass walls welcomed nature inside as well as his gaze. There was nowhere in the house he couldn't watch.
Just so you know, Gillian was saying as William carted her upstairs, I'm not going to bond with you.
Puck's heart nearly stopped. Had the other male issued a proposal of his own then? William placed her atop the bed, perched at her side, and offered a stiff smile.
I don't remember asking, Poppet.
A heavy sigh of relief escaped Puck. No, no proposal had been issued.
I know you haven't asked, just as I know you won't ask, she said. This way, when I'm gone, you won't waste time feeling guilty, wondering if you should have asked.
You're not going to die.
Despite William's soft tone, unmistakable malice laced every word. I won't let you.
Wrong. I won't let her.
Trembling, she reached out to clasp William's hand.
I love you, Liam. When I had nothing and no one, you gave me friendship and joy. And I will be forever grateful to you.
Puck sucked in a breath. She was saying goodbye, preparing for death, wasn't she?
Fight, Gillian. Fight to live.
Aggression pulsed from William.
Stop talking as if this is the end for you.
She offered him the same sad smile she'd offered Puck.
You have faults, a lot of faults, but you're a wonderful man.
This wonderful man will find a way to save you, William said, his tone hard as granite. I'm working every day, every hour, every minute to ensure bonding won't be necessary. Now get some rest.
Head high, he stood and stomped from the room. The door slammed behind him. Rather than watching that door for William's return, Gillian peered at the balcony, her expression unreadable. Was she waiting for Puck? His chest puffed, and there was no stopping it. When her eyes closed, Puck snuck into the room and stalked to her bedside, as if drawn by a waft of magic. He breathed in her poppy berry scent.
Sleep, lass. I'll make sure you're safe.
Another lie. Because even as he spoke, indifference began to purr. Chapter 9. Like a plug had been pulled inside a bathtub, might and vigor drained from Puck until his knees could barely hold his weight. Time to go. He wasn't able to leave the room as quietly as he'd entered, but Gillian never roused. He would go somewhere safe, endure indifference as punishment, then rebuild his strength and return. If the girl died in the meantime, she had better not die. Puck stumbled through the trees, the injustice of his predicament seething inside him. Experience told him he would soon be too weak to move. At times he would be completely unaware of his surroundings. At others, he would know what happened around him, but remain unable to act. For days, anyone could stumble upon him, attack him, do anything they desired to him. Abduction, imprisonment, rape, even chop him into little pieces. But he wasn't concerned for himself. Considering Gillian's swiftly deteriorating condition, time was her greatest enemy, and his.
Must ensure my survival.
He couldn't help her if he died. First order of business, securing a hideout. Never approach an enemy until you've scouted your location and secured a safe haven. Sin's voice rose from the mire of Puck's memory, as welcome as it was despised. He'd been so wrapped up in Gillian and the strange things she made him feel, he hadn't given his surroundings a second thought. He probably wouldn't have cared anyway. And not just because of indifference. Sin used to do all the scouting and securing, leaving Puck to do the fighting. Now, at his weakest, he had to find shelter and craft an indestructible defense. Unless Hades intervened, William would come searching for him. At times like this, Puck missed Cameron and Winter. In their own special way, they'd loved him when no one else would or could. Any time indifference had overtaken him, they'd guarded him. For centuries, they'd ensured his battle skills remained well-honed, forcing him to practice, and when he'd lost sight of his goals, they'd reminded him. The relationship hadn't been one-sided either. Whenever obsession had overtaken Cameron, the warrior had spent days, weeks, locked inside a room, talking only to the demon, refusing to eat or sleep. He needed a champion willing to fight, and fight hard, to distract him with a brand new obsession. Winter had never been the best candidate. For her, a single selfless act came with devastating consequences. Demons always came with a price. Any time Winter had defied selfishness and acted altruistically, she descended into a week-long odyssey of madness, just long enough to rip an entire realm apart, leaving zero survivors, and Winter with violent memories she could never shake. Puck had helped the siblings in ways no one else could and shared his ice. Had the siblings suffered without him? Maybe, probably, but at least they had each other, the way Puck had once had Sin. Puck. Puck. Another memory surfaced. 11-year-old Sin sobbing at Puck's bedside.
We'd better heal from this injury, or I'll be forced to kill everyone. I can't do life without you.
Oh, how Puck missed the boy Sin had been, the friend he'd become. Indifference purred louder while slithering through his body and siphoning more and more of his strength. Tremors cascaded through his limbs. One by one his bones seemed to morph into noodles and his muscles into soup. Every step forward became a lesson in anguish. When his foot met a rock, he tripped forward. Though he tried to steady himself, his knees gave out. He toppled, grains of sand clinging to his sweaty skin. Darkness teased the edge of his mind, quickly gaining new ground. No, fight! Out in the open like this, he was a target, an easy target. But even as he struggled to stand, the demon drained the rest of his energy, turning breathing into a chore. "There you are, finally!" Feminine laughter filtered into his awareness. "I was starting to think I'd gotten the days mixed up, but then I remembered the only time I've ever been wrong was when I thought I was wrong." He recognized her voice. Keely, the Red Queen. Gillian and William's friend, the one who'd given indifference to sin, with instructions to possess Puck, then commissioned Hades to offer aid to him. What fresh horror did she have in store for him today? "Torin, a boost, if you please," she said. Torin, keeper of disease, the one who expected Puck to attack at the first opportunity. He was too weak to protest as rock-solid arms wrapped around him and swept him up, up against a muscular chest. Inside, though, he fought like the beast he'd become, to no avail. "Where do you want him?" Torin asked. "And don't you dare say, in my pants, not again." "Whose pants, yours or mine?"
"Either,"
the keeper of disease replied. Keely humphed. "I like him right where you've got him. Look at you, darling, your biceps are bulging." A soft pfft left Torin, as if he battled the mighty urge to laugh and curse at the same time. "Concentrate, princess, and tell me where we're going." "To our secret love shack, of course." The patter of footsteps blended with the snap of twigs, creating an ominous chorus. Puck loathed this with every fiber of his being, the helplessness, the uncertainty, the way the darkness around his mind taunted him, threatening to send him into oblivion at any moment. "My sexy beast is magnificent, isn't he?" Keely said. Warm, soft fingers traced his brow. A growl reverberated in Torin's chest, no hint of amusement. "Hearing you wax poetic about another man tends to put me in a murderous mood." "Sexy? Puck? Her beast?" Did the couple know about his plan to bond with Gillian, blackmail William, and slay Sin? Had Keely truly known what would happen all those centuries ago when she'd given the box to Sin? Hades seemed to think so. "Oh, my baby's self-esteem is smarting." Her voice was low, raspy. "Here, let me help you make all better." Whoosh, the sound of a palm slapping skin. "Oh!" Torin's entire body jerked. "That hurt." "And there's more where that came from," Keely said, and Puck imagined her wagging a finger at her husband. "You're the most incredible male in the history of ever, and I'm the most faithful woman. Act like it."
"Yes, ma'am," Torin chuckled, only to sober. "William will be ticked if he finds out we're helping Gilly's future husband."
Helping the girl's future husband? Me? The Red Queen had predicted even this?
"Of course, me. I've got this in the bag."
She heaved a weighty sigh. "I'll deal with William when the time comes. You know, when he realizes I saved Gillian's life, and his eternity, and his true mate, and he begs for my forgiveness." "Oh, so check it. Earlier this morning I spoke with Hades' magic mirror."
"The one containing the goddess of many futures?"
"Exactly. Now, I have a pretty good lead on Willie's best path, and oh wow is that boy in for a world of hurt. His mate is going to lead him on a merry chase, which reminds me, I'm supposed to tell Gideon and Scarlet about their baby."
"Is something wrong?" Torin asked, his concern evident. "Or are you trying to tell me Gideon and Scarlet will give birth to William's mate?"
"No, nothing like that, but they need to know illusion isn't just illusion, but also vision. And William needs to know..." "What?" "I've forgotten. Something about the Codebreaker, an illusion."
"I have no idea what you're talking about, Princess."
Nor did Puck, and he didn't care enough to expend energy to fit the puzzle pieces together. Torin sprang over a rock, the abrupt motion ramming Puck's brain into his skull. The darkness stopped playing and started cloaking his mind. He slipped in and out of awareness, only coming to when his rescuer placed him on a hard, flat surface, cold rocks digging into his back.
"Doing this," Torin was saying.
"He was almost my stepson," Keely replied. I want to see him happy, which means he has to be shoved onto the right path. But I love Gillian, too, and I want her happy. I also love Puck and want him happy. Or I will love Puck one day. This is the only way to achieve the perfect end for all three players, a plan I put into motion a long time ago. She loved Puck, or would love him, even though she didn't know him. She thought forcing him to host Indifference would help him achieve the perfect end. Crazy female, she'd ruined everything.
"You were wrong before, you know. He won't thank us," Torin muttered. "Ever."
"Have I taught you nothing?" Keeley said. "We have to do what's right, no matter the reaction we'll receive from others. Besides, people can surprise you."
"You're right. People can surprise you with a knife in the back."
Darkness closed in once again. As Torin unleashed a string of profanity, Puck's eyelids popped open. Through a haze, he thought he spied rocky walls, the shadow of a warrior, and the profile of a busty blonde.
"She's not going to thank you for this either," Torin said.
"She will," Keeley replied, then sighed. "Well, maybe not at first, but one day. If the payout wasn't worth the pain..." Soft fingers tap-tap-tapped against Puck's cheek. "You had better be worth it, Plucky. Time is running out. She's dying."
"You're almost too late. Or maybe you're already too late. Life and death are so confusing for the psychically inclined."
Then he fought to rise. "Must get to Gillian." Darkness descended once again. Gillian fell in and out of consciousness. In her feverish days, she thought she maybe, maybe not, probably was, probably wasn't having a conversation with Keeley. She couldn't decide what was real and what wasn't because, for once, she had no idea if she was dreaming or awake, or if she was confusing present with past and past with future, just like the Red Queen, who had lived for thousands of years, memories and predictions stacking on top of each other, details getting lost in the mire. Was this a taste of immortality? Could Gillian live this way forever? Would she even remember this odd interaction, or would she forget, as the Red Queen often did? "You forgive me, right?" her friend asked, sounding nervous and unsure. "I'm not just a stranger, remember. I'm your best friend, and I did save your life."
"Forgive?
Why?" Oh, wait, Keeley had tricked her into drinking an eternal curse.
"Should have let die.
To be saddled with her fears and phobias forever? No thanks." "Nonsense. Now be a good girl and say yes to Puck, okay? You're going to be such a lovely bride." Okay, this had to be a hallucination. None of the lords or their mates would ever encourage her to wed Puck. "You've got some growing up to do, of course," her friend continued. "Let's face it, baby girl, you're immature and rash. You do foolish things. You're confused. You change your mind in a snap. See if this rings a bell." In a falsetto, she said, "Oh, William, you're so perfect for me. No, no, William, I'm determined to remain alone all the days of my life. William, I want you. William, I'm not interested in any kind of romantic relationship with you."
Fire spread over Gillian's cheeks, and she doubted it had anything to do with her sickness.
"You don't know what you want or what you need," Keeley continued. "You just know you need change, right? Well, ta-da! Today is your pucky lucky day. You just have to fight for better. Fight, Gillian, fight!"
Her fragmented thoughts struggled to keep up. Pucky, lucky, Puck? The most beautiful man she'd ever seen?
Yes, he overshadowed William, reminding her of an Egyptian prince she'd once seen in a history book, but with a lot more bulk. Seriously, the guy looked like he taught Jason Momoa how to work out, and when he spoke goodbye sanity, he had a slight Irish accent that had sent shivers down her spine. His eyes were the color of frosted coal and rimmed by the longest, thickest lashes of all time. At first glance, she thought he wore eyeliner and a thousand layers of jet-black mascara. Nope. On him, the smoky look was all natural. He had cheekbones as sharp as glass, an imperial nose, and lips as soft and dewy as a dark pink rose, the bottom one plumper than the top one. Also, at first glance, the sight of his horns had frightened her. She'd flinched, the urge to fight or take flight, rising up strong. Fight? Me? Please. Had she been strong enough, she would have run as if her feet were on fire. At second glance, those horns had intrigued her. She wasn't sure why. The man never smiled, actually. His expression never betrayed a hint of emotion. He appeared detached from the world around him, unaffected by absolutely everything. Except, maybe, me.
Once or twice he'd seemed to burn for her. A mistake on her part? However, despite his beastly attributes and cold demeanor, he'd been nothing but honorable. He'd asked for her help, and in return he'd wanted her to help him feel some kind of emotion. Could she? Shouldn't she try? On one hand, Puck was her last hope, her only hope, possibly her salvation. On the other hand, if she died, there'd be no more misery or fear, no more weakness. The past would be wiped away. Fight at long last, Gillian, please fight. Fight to live, fight evil, could she? She wondered again. This time the answer crashed into her mind with the force of a Mack truck. Yes, she could fight evil, needed to fight evil. There were too many young girls and boys being abused by people in positions of power, and they deserved a champion. I want to be a champion. Hello, bucket list. For too long she'd had no purpose. Fear had owned her, robbing her of joy, hope, and pleasure. But no longer. Today was a new day. The girl she used to be was gone, a new one rising in her place. For the first time in her life, she had a reason to live. So yes, she would fight. That's right, Keeley said, as if reading her thoughts. This is your destiny, the reason you were born. The first step is always the hardest, but don't worry, soon you'll be running. She cleaned Gillian from top to bottom with a wet rag, then combed her hair and brushed her teeth. Bonus, William won't spiral and blame himself for your death yesterday, today, or tomorrow. William, sweet William. Maybe one day someone will make a movie about your life, Keeley said. 18 and married to an immortal and a demon. But truth is stranger than fiction, eh? Who would believe it? Gillian was living it, and she could hardly believe it. Puckett said a bond to him would do the trick. She might have agreed, if he hadn't wanted to have sex with her. Sex remained on her never-never list. There will come a time when you eagerly, happily put sex on your always-always list, Keeley whispered, again seeming to read Gillian's thoughts and more certainly proving herself to be a hallucination. Admit it, you ache for Puck. Her ache? When the beautiful warrior with muscles galore had looked at her with ice-cold eyes, the eyes of a predator? Eyes that said he would hunt his prey for hours, days, waiting for the perfect time to strike? No. But when he'd maybe, maybe not looked at her with smoldering heat, her body had seemed to wake from a deep sleep, her heart rate speeding up, different parts of her throbbing, desperate to learn the meaning of bliss. Could he teach her? Of course, an all-too-familiar fear had engulfed her each time, almost as much guilt, too. How dare her body betray William? Such a foolish thought. William was a friend, nothing more. Did she still want more? If not, fine. She could bond to Puck and save her life. If yes, she had to proceed with caution. If she bonded to Puck, she'd have zero chance of being with William ever. Keeley pressed her lips against Gillian's forehead. Marriage to Puck will give you a clean slate. You'll reset, have a fresh start. Just survive now and figure out the rest later, okay? Clean slate. Fresh start. From frightened mouse to fearless champion. As sleep beckoned, Gillian got trapped on a single thought. William or Puck?
Chapter 10. Eyes springing open, Puck jolted upright. Panting, he scanned his surroundings, an empty, wardless cave with a doorway to another realm in the far corner. But it wasn't the same doorway he'd used to enter the realm. Where would this one lead? On the far wall, he spotted a message written in blood. Some of the letters had dripped together. Ask again. She's ready to say yes to the dress. The dress? What dress? Facts rolled through his mind, an avalanche picking up debris along a downward slide. Torin and Keeley carrying him to safety. Gillian dying. Too late. Too late? No. An unfamiliar tide of urgency propelled Puck to his feet. His strength had returned, and he needed to keep it. Allow no emotion, react to nothing. How much time had passed since last he'd been with Gillian? A few days? A week? He did a quick survey of his attire. Clean t-shirt, new loincloth. He thought he remembered Keeley saying, "Barbarian works for you. Let's maintain the look." As he rushed out of the cave, instinct demanded he grab the nylon bag in his path. Without slowing his pace, he checked the contents. toothbrush, toothpaste, mouthwash, hairbrush, courtesy of Torrin and Keeley, wanting him to look and smell his best for Gillian? Puck used each item, refusing to be grateful. The closer he came to the beach house, the more Gillian's pained moans assaulted his ears. He fought a pang of sympathy and summoned a new layer of ice, more than ever before, until only his goals mattered. He pumped his arms and legs faster.
"You had best hold on, lass. I'm almost there."
Finally, he reached his destination. As he scaled the second floor, a warm tide of relief swept through him, only to freeze when it encountered the ice.
Excellent.
The balcony doors were already open, making things easy for him. He leaped onto the railing and flew inside the bedroom, where he found Gillian on the bed, as still as a statue. As she inhaled a breath, death rattled in her lungs. Blue tinged her lips. She wasn't getting enough oxygen. She was nothing but skin and bones, wasting away.
"Will not react."
William knew what was wrong with her, knew there was only one way to save her. The bastard could have bonded to her and saved her from this. Instead, he let her suffer while he searched for non-existent, unproven ways to maybe, perhaps, hopefully, keep her around a little longer. He didn't deserve her, but he would learn better. Sometimes you had to lose a treasure in order to understand its value. Today, Puck would begin William's lessons. Determined, he slid his arms under Gillian's body. Afraid of breaking her fragile bones, he lifted her against his chest as gently as possible. She was too light, frighteningly so. Seeking warmth, she curled against him.
"Will not react."
When her beautiful lips formed the name William, Puck went stiff. So, she thought the other male carried her. Didn't matter. The mistake worked in Puck's favor. He had no desire to terrify her.
"Gillian!" William's voice reverberated through the entire house. His tone was strained, as if he spoke while struggling against an opponent.
Had Torrin, Keeley, or Hades come to offer Puck more aid? Puck expected Gillian to turn rigid when she realized her beloved wasn't the one absconding with her, but she softened further, relief seeming to overtake her. She'd wanted Puck to come for her? Ask again, she's ready to say yes to the dress. Just in case he'd read her body language wrong, he rushed to reassure her of his good intentions.
"I'm not going to let you die. The last time I was with you, I felt.
True in every way, and a reason to avoid her, but also the reason she believed he continued to seek her out. He couldn't forget he had a part to play.
"I regretted leaving you.
Regretted my tangle with indifference, and I am not going to do it again." Incoherent words spilled from her, and he tried to decipher them. Something about making him feel, after all. Because he'd admitted to feeling regret, she thought her job was done.
"Think again, lass."
Stride long and sure, he walked to the balcony, climbed the railing, and leaped. When he landed, he managed to remain upright through sheer grit. Impact proved jarring, however, and Gillian moaned.
"I'm sorry," he muttered, and wondered if he meant it, despite the ice.
As he raced forward, twigs and rocks cutting his feet, he decided to return to Torrin and Keeley's cave and use their doorway. Wherever it led, he would deal.
"I want to bond with you, Gillian. Do not say no."
"Won't." "Yes," she whispered.
"We'll bond. What need do?"
She'd agreed. A momentary blast of shock tripped him up, but he said,
"Just repeat after me."
He raced through the realm, faster and faster, heading for the exit, putting as much distance between Gillian and William as possible.
"Yes?"
A murmur of agreement.
"Good enough." "I give you my heart, soul, and body."
He waited until she'd echoed his words. Every time she paused to catch her breath, his nerve endings buzzed.
"I tie my life to yours, and when you die, I die with you. This I say, this I do."
The significance of the moment wasn't lost on him. They were tying their souls together. Until he used the shears, they would be two halves of a whole. Had his life unfolded according to his original plan, he would never have considered bonding. He would have remained single, never sleeping with the same woman twice, never knowing true satisfaction in bed. After Gillian, after indifference, his life would be his own once again.
"I'll share with no one, ever."
He would trust no one. Not even the next wife he would take, the loving queen.
"Repeat the rest,"
he commanded. Tears welled in Gillian's eyes, making all that whiskey-colored gold appear liquid. Did she regret her decision already? Too bad. She'd run out of time and had no other options. Her life was fading right before Puck's eyes. If he had to force her to finish, he would. Then, a miracle happened. She echoed his statement, willingly accepting his claim.
This I say, this I do.
So close to victory. Indifference snarled and Puck ground his teeth.
I don't think it worked.
Gillian's brows drew together.
Are you sure bonding is what saves me? I feel same, weak as ever.
Don't worry, lass. We aren't done yet.
Finally, they reached the exit. Puck zoomed through the mystical doorway, entering a new realm. One he'd never before encountered. There was no beach or people, only an endless expanse of jungle. Possible threats, poison foliage, wildlife, man-made traps, and the males who'd constructed them. In a rare act of protection, he pressed Gillian's face into the hollow of his neck before shouldering through a sea of branches and leaves. He would claim the first shelter he found, by fair means or foul, and finish the ceremony. There, a treehouse came into view, large and luxurious. Puck draped Gillian over his shoulder as gently as possible and climbed up, up. At the top he found a beautiful bedroom furnished in white. Who lived here? Hardly mattered. He placed Gillian in the center of the bed and withdrew a dagger. After slicing his wrist, he placed the wound directly over her lips. Blood dripped into her mouth and she gagged. "Swallow," he barked the command, showing no mercy. Feverish and frantic, she shook her head and precious drops dribbled down her cheek.
"You will do this."
She must. Her life and their bond depended on it. He fit the heel of his uninjured hand against her forehead to hold her in place and pinched her nose closed. Cruel on his part, but also necessary.
She will die otherwise.
She would forgive him, or not. He placed his wound over her mouth a second time. Because she had to open up in order to breathe, his blood trickled down her throat. She gagged again, but ultimately swallowed, and he heaved with relief. There. It was done. He lifted her arm and picked up the dagger. He knew what he had to do, slice her beautiful skin. But still he hesitated. Take blood she couldn't afford to give? How could he dare?
No other way.
Her pain would be fleeting. Once it was done, she could siphon his strength and finally, blessedly, complete her transition into immortality. All would be well. She might even thank him. Puck inhaled sharply and slashed Gillian's wrist. She cringed as he placed the wound at his mouth and drank.
"Blood of my blood, breath of my breath," he rasped, his heart thudding against his ribs. "Until the end of time."
Or until the shears were used.
"Repeat the words, lass."
Her eyes widened, and straight white teeth chewed on a bottom lip, still coated with Puck's blood.
"No," she said, and shuddered. "Need to think, no longer sure."
"Refusal? Now?"
"Running out of time. If you don't do this, you will die, and I will war with William for nothing."
Without a bargaining chip, William would have no reason to become Puck's ally, and every reason to become his enemy. A thousand different emotions swam in her eyes, despair at the forefront. Puck thought he understood. A bond saved her life, but also destroyed any chance of being with William. In her mind, at least. She had no idea Puck planned to use the shears, and he wasn't going to tell her. Yet. For all he knew, William had tagged her with some kind of ward after finding out Puck had come sniffing around, allowing the other man to listen through her ears. The warrior would learn the truth when Puck decided to share, and no sooner.
"You understand William would have let you die," he said, the words lashing from him. "I'm here. I'm willing to risk everything for you."
A whimper opened the floodgates, heralding a sob. Had she even heard him? Frustration and rage battered his ice. Snarls echoed inside his head.
"Inhale, exhale, Gillian."
He cupped her jaw, keeping his hold as soft as possible.
"Give me a chance. Let me save you."
Again, he wasn't sure if she'd heard him or not, but she closed her eyes and leaned into his touch. 1 second passed, two, a seemingly endless agony. When finally her eyelids parted, he met a golden gaze more haunted than ever before. windows to the wounds festering deep inside her. Tears streamed down her cheeks, and tremors rocked her delicate body, but at long last she repeated the words,
"Blood of my blood, breath of my breath, until the end of time."
Chapter 11. Between one heartbeat and the next, Gillian's life forever changed. As strength and warmth sped through her body, darkness and ice sped through her soul. The dual sensations battled for supremacy, leaving her reeling. So badly she wanted to cry out for William. He would make everything better. But he wasn't here, and what could have been would never be. A sob lodged against a lump in her throat, and a choking sound escaped. She'd aligned her life with someone else, a stranger. And that was a good thing, right? She'd reset. Today marked day one of her fresh start. She had a new path to walk, without William. What if he decided to cut her from his life altogether, because she was no longer Gillian, but Gillian plus one? How could she say goodbye to the greatest man she'd ever met? Tears distorted her vision.
"William would have let you die. I'm here. I'm willing to risk everything."
Old Gillian would have lamented. New Gillian would rejoice. For the first time, she had a plan for her life. The rescue of abused kids. Every time she succeeded, she would be kicking evil in the nuts. Finally, the dark fog that had plagued her since she'd fallen ill lifted. The past few days, weeks, becoming a blur as the present cleared. An open, airy bedroom greeted her, pure rustic glamour. Sunlight flowed through cracks in wooden walls. She filled her lungs to capacity, the scent of lavender and peat smoke teasing her, rich and decadent, even soothing. Puck's scent. Delicious. Gillian lay on a large bed with a soft mattress. Her husband perched at her side, watching her with a strained expression. Because he'd shared so much of his strength with her, when his gaze collided with her as a sensual haze clouded her thoughts, Puck was... he was... more beautiful than I ever realized. The ivory horns gave him an otherworldly mystique. Silky black hair beckoned her fingers. Coal-rimmed eyes burned with possessiveness, melting the frost from his coal-colored irises. Today his irises reminded her of a midnight sky scattered with stars. His lips were a darker shade of rose than before and begged to be kissed, demanded to own the mouth pressed against his. No man had ever looked so hard and gentle at the same time, as if he could kill you or seduce you just as soon as he made up his mind. An odd sensation prickled the crests of Gillian's breasts and between her legs. Unimportant. Ignore. What mattered? She was alive. Thanks to Puck, she had hope and a future. Laughing, she threw her arms around him. She owed him big time. But all he wanted in return? To feel an emotion, any emotion. Sounded easy enough, in theory at least. How was she supposed to make the keeper of indifference laugh, tell him jokes? How was she supposed to make him cry, share stories about her childhood? And where were they going to go, huh? Back to Budapest with the lords? She doubted Puck would be welcome, and knew he wouldn't blend in with modern society. Actually, he didn't have to blend in. People would assume he wore a costume and probably post reviews online. Did you see the monster in the castle district? So fake. His makeup artist should be fired. He wouldn't fool my blind uncle. Grade D-. Gillian released him, eager to discuss her thoughts, plans, and hopes. But he wrapped his arms around her and held her firmly in place. Her heart kicked into a staccato rhythm, and her blood ran cold. Panic surged, and she wrenched back, gaining her freedom. Relief bloomed until she heard a quiet, sinister roar in the back of her mind. Puck battled the fiercest erection of his life. Poppy berries, Gillian's scent, filled his nose, except her sweet fragrance now had added depth, because it blended with his scent, becoming their scent. They were well and truly bonded. Her fragile body had demanded its due, taking what it needed from his body. He'd only just recovered from indifference's punishment. Now a good portion of his newfound strength had already deserted him. But he was glad. Or almost glad. Such a small price to pay for Gillian's stunning transformation. Color had returned to her skin, the beautiful golden tones now flushed with rose. The weight she'd lost had reappeared in a blink, her eyes no longer sunken, her cheeks rounded once again. Dull, lifeless hair had new luster and gleamed as if dusted with diamond powder. Purely feminine, lusciously carnal. More radiant than ever, because of him, because of Pukin, Neil, Brion, Cunot, the Fourth. Because his power flowed through her, ensuring her heart continued to beat. Pride puffed his chest. No man had a lovelier wife. No man had a more frightened wife, he realized, his chest constricting. Her gaze darted to the left, then to the right. Searching for a way out? Just then she reminded him of injured prey cornered by a hungry predator.
"Be at ease, lass," he rasped.
He thought, no, surely not, but maybe? Emotion seemed to flow between their bond. Fear, sadness, hope, happiness, rage, concern. Had to be a mistake, and yet indifference remained silent. Gillian drew a heavy breath through her mouth and closed her eyes. For several seconds she sat as still as a statue. When she exhaled, she focused on Puck, the wildness fading from her eyes, eyes that shifted down to avoid his gaze. "I'm sorry," she said, and rubbed at her temples. He pressed two fingers beneath her jaw and lifted her chin. Her gaze lifted as well and held his own, unwavering.
"Better," he said. "I like your eyes. Want to see them?"
She blinked as if surprised. When he smoothed a lock of hair behind her ear, his fingertips tingled and white-hot desire speared him. And yet, still indifference remained silent. Even more shocking, Gillian softened and leaned into his touch.
"You are exquisite," he said,
and no truer words had ever been spoken. Darker pink circles spread over her cheeks, lending an air of innocence to her carnal sensuality.
"Thank you, and you
are not, I know."
"Hey, don't put words—"
"Gillian!"
William's hard voice echoed off the walls, shaking the planks.
"Finish your sentence," Puck wanted to roar. What did she think he was?
"William," she mouthed.
Excitement lit her eyes, drawing a ragged growl from Puck. Ragged growl.
"I'm using her. Her feelings for another man do not affect me."
Dagger in hand, he jumped up, perfect timing. William burst through a wall, wood shards flying in every direction. Rage crackled in his electric blues. No, his neon reds. Arcs of lightning zipped under the surface of his skin, while smoke and shadows stretched above his shoulders like wings. Raven locks billowed around his face, lifted by a wind Puck couldn't feel. What kind of a mortal was this man? He was Hades' son through some sort of immortal adoption. The two shared no blood ties. Whatever he was, William had lost his chance to make a move against Puck. Now what happened to husband also happened to wife. Cut Puck, and Gillian would bleed. Break his bones, and hers would shatter. Those neon red eyes narrowed on him, crackling with the kind of rage Puck longed to feel.
"You're going to die, but not until you've begged for mercy you'll never receive. She's mine, and I protect what's mine."
And so it begins. The first rule of negotiation: establish a solid foundation on which to stand. The second: rip your opponent apart in every way possible. The more off-kilter William felt, the less confidence he would have. The less confidence he had, the easier Puck could work the situation in his favor.
"No," Gillian croaked, rising from the bed to move beside Puck. "No killing.
Things to protect the man who could have saved her days of agony?"
Forget a solid foundation. Puck went straight to ripping.
"She's yours?" he sneered. "I did what you were too afraid to do. I fought for the prize, and I won."
A bomb detonated in William's eyes, literal sparks crackling at the corners.
"You have sealed your fate, demon!"
If Gillian heard the exchange, she gave no notice, her gaze pleading with William, hoping he would save her from Puck. The rage he'd longed to feel only moments ago now filled him, his butterfly tattoo blazing and dancing over his skin. Muscles bulged and bones vibrated, his claws sharpened, his mind remained quiet. Even still, he summoned ice. He'd never needed his strength more, couldn't risk a punishment.
Cold and calculated, he stepped closer to Gillian and said to William, "She's mine. I would never harm my female." William lifted a dagger, ready to strike.